This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Radio friends, in our study of the book of Jonah, we have come to the third chapter, the first four verses. If you have your Bible handy, open the Word of God with me. We read, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Chapter 3 is the high point in the remarkable book of Jonah. How amazing the story of chapters 1 and 2 of the disobedient prophet Jonah, who ran from the presence of the Lord when he was told to go to Nineveh, of the stormy sea and of the ship, of being cast overboard and swallowed by a whale, 3 days spent in the belly of the great fish and now spit out on the shore, all of it as the prelude to the wonder of chapter 3. For in chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, we have the power of the Word of God energized through God's elective grace to bring unto Himself those who He chose in Christ. Jonah goes to Nineveh, that great and wicked city ripe for judgment, and great portions of it are brought to repentance before God, a foretelling of the glorious gospel in the New Testament, gathering the church out of darkness into the light of Christ. That's very applicable to us. In a day when the church is choosing marketing techniques over the Word of God, in a day when the church is rejecting the preaching of the gospel, in a day when churches deny inspirations, they hymn and they haw over whether or not the Bible is word for word the Word of God. And in a day when the church begins to concoct its own methods to expand the church and her witness, in that day, I say, we are not left in doubt. Read Jonah chapter 3. It is the power of the Word of God spoken exactly as God has given it in the Scriptures, which is the power of God unto salvation. God said to Jonah, "Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Let that certify us today. No matter what, Church of Jesus Christ, let us preach the Word of God faithfully. Let us witness of the living Word of God, and let us believe what we read in the Scriptures. Jeremiah, "Is not my word like a hammer?" Nevertheless, Isaiah, "The word of God shall not return void, but shall accomplish the purpose to which God sends it." Chapter 3 is also the highlight in the life of Jonah. What a wonderful part of his life. Here we see him acting consistent with the grace of God within him. In chapter 1, we saw a disobedient child of God, and we saw a mass of hopeless contradictions. We saw a child of God who had to say to pagan sailors, "I fear God, but I'm running from Him. I'm a Hebrew, but I don't want God's presence. He's the God of heaven, but I take it upon myself to disobey Him." But now Jonah is standing in the beauty of obedience. That's certainly applicable to us. The beauty of obedience. Do you obey God? Do you call yourself a Christian? You call yourself His child. Do you obey your parents? Do you forgive your wife, your husband, one another? Do you speak no evil? Do you lay up treasures in heaven? Are you separate from a world of sin? Do you confess your sins before God? Nothing so glorifies God as the immediate and explicit obedience of His children. And that is what we're going to see in Jonah today. What about you? The Word of God calls you as a young man, as a wife, as a child. It calls you to obedience. Do you obey? The word of the Lord, we read, came to Jonah the second time. And that's very beautiful too, because it certainly tells us that God's word is going to have its own way in our lives. That we cannot escape, suppress, ignore, or erase God's word. You can't do that if you're a child of God. That's a sobering, but that's a comforting truth. God's word tracks us right down, follows us, and returns us right back to the place of our disobedience and comes to us the second time. How many times did you disobey Him, set His word aside, run away like Jonah? Does God disown you as His child? No. He disciplines you. But the word of God comes the second time. Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. That's God's grace. Imagine for a moment how Jonah must have felt. Had he not permanently disqualified himself as a prophet? For a period of time, which only afterwards could Jonah determine to have been 3 days, because how does one tell time in a whale's belly, in the pitch dark and damp and slime? For a period of time, 3 days, after that he has been spit back upon the dry land. He felt the wrenching, the internal wrenching of the fish. He's hurled skyward over the water, and he lands on a sandy or perhaps stony shoreline. His eyes and his face are shriveled from the darkness. He tries to get his balance. His clothes and skin are covered with slime and stench. He asks the question, where am I? And he reflects on the unusual providence of God, which spared his life. The last sight he saw was the heaving, angry sea. Now he's on the dry land again. What was he to do? Where was he to go? Where was he? He was in a bewildered state. He could not go back to Israel and be a prophet. And would it not be presumptuous to think that he still was a prophet after such disobedience? And so we read, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Do you see the grace of God? It would have been grace to preserve the prophet. Would have been grace to send him back to Israel and say to him, you should be amazed, you're not dead. But God reissues the commission. God sends him back. What would we have done? Here is a man who has gone 180 degrees in the wrong direction. Here's a man who was entrusted with the honor of God to bear God's word and to do God's will. He had been given a calling, clear and explicit. And flatly he refused. And Jonah became so determined in his disobedience that he declared that he would rather die than do his calling. Throw me overboard, he had said to the sailors. Now, having preserved his life, we would have said, all right, Jonah, go home. We're glad you repented, but you can't be of further use to God. Your calling is revoked. But that's not God's way. God brings the same commission. He restores in repentance, and He reaffirms the calling. You ask me, Pastor, is God really like that? To those who turned a deaf ear to His word and pursued their own way of folly and have been reinstored by grace alone and reinstated in repentance, is God truly that merciful? Yes, He is like that. If He were not like that, no one could ever serve Him. We have a commission from God as a husband and as a father. We disqualify ourselves. We turn to our own way. In anger, we want our own ease. In selfishness, we turn from our calling. God humbles us, and what does He say? Now go. Return to your calling. Have we not in our own sins taken matters into our own hands? Have we not denied Him who has called us to confess Him? Have we not all, as Jonah, turned from a clear path of calling before God? Of course we have. That's our sin. And God? God disciplines. God chastens. God corrects. God breaks you, and He brings you low. He doesn't play around with you in the way of sin. He doesn't gently step around the issues of your disobedience. He doesn't play a game. And then when you've come through the fish's belly and you've been spit out, what word does God bring to you? Does He say, you better best be thankful that you're forgiven, but I'm not going to use you anymore? Oh no. The unmerited grace of God. Jonah, I'll tell you the second time now. Go and do what I told you to do. That was utterly gracious. Would you notice with me also that when the word of God came to him the second time, it was the same word? That there was no alteration, no smoothing of the rough edges, no rephrasing of the commission in words which might be more amicable to Jonah? After all, Jonah, when that call came to him the first time, found that call so contrary to his desires, it so rubbed him, it so gnawed at him that he rejected it. Well, wouldn't it be wiser this second time to negotiate the words a little bit and to put it more softly with a little bit more explanation? No. No, it comes the same way, the same words. You see, we are like children. And sometimes as a child we are told what we don't want to do, and we throw a tantrum, thinking that our tantrum will get, if not our parents to change, at least to tone it down a little bit. We think we can manipulate the command by a tantrum. And a wise parent will not do that. A wise parent will come back with the same command. So is God. God says, husbands, love your wife. And God is not going to adjust that for your situation. You say to Him, but she's so, and then you go through this violent time of upheaval in your marriage, and you finally come to repentance, and you say, well, okay, I'll try to bear with her a little bit. I'll live in another room. Oh, no. The Word of God comes to you the second time and says, man, love your wife. God says to you, seek the things that are above. Watch over your Sabbath day. You are not to labor on your Sabbath day. And you say, well, all right, I'll remember the Lord's day from 9:30 in the morning Sunday till 11:47. But then I need some time for myself, or for my work, or for my pleasures. Oh no, no, no. God does not adjust His commands. Let's learn to obey the first time. Let's learn that if we try to run away from God, sooner or later He's going to deal with us, and we're going to have to face the very command that we tried to run from. God is gracious, but yet there is a slight difference in this second commission. In the first commission, God said to Jonah, cry against Nineveh, for their wickedness has come up before me. In the second one, God says to Jonah, preach unto Nineveh the preaching that I bid thee. The emphasis of the first commission was the great wickedness of Nineveh. The emphasis of the second commission was that the preaching as to its content must be exactly what I tell you. Jonah, the content of your message must be exactly what I give to you. You must not think this message up. You must not consult yourself, but you must faithfully deliver exactly what I have told you to deliver. And that's the heart of all true preaching in the church. True preaching in the church is to convey what God has said in His Word, the exposition of the Word of God. What Paul says in Acts chapter 20, the whole counsel of God. Thousands of clergy preach on Sunday, but do they preach what God has given them? Arrogance has created the notion that God's Word is unsophisticated. It's irrelevant. It's erroneous. It's time-bound. It's something that a minister has to apologize for. It conveys notions and prejudices against women and other things, they say. And then not only is the content of the Bible put under question, but preaching the Bible, authoritative declaration. Oh, no, says man, what we want is some sharing. We want some analysis. We want some dialogue. Would to God the church world would insist on preaching. Prophets, ministers, are to come with the Word of God and to preach the preaching that I bid thee. A prophet in the Old Testament did not come to God's people and say, well, I believe by the cultivation of my inner life, my spiritual life, I have come to a heightened sense of spiritual awareness. And will you come with me and will you share with me something of the fruits of my spiritual sensitivity? Not on your life would a prophet try that. Preach the preaching that I bid thee. The minister is to take the Word of God as he finds the Word of God, exactly as he finds it, and to press it down upon the conscience of God's people, to explain it clearly, to set it forth in the light of all the Scriptures, and to preach the Word of God. Jonah, we read, arose, and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. The thing that stands out is that Jonah now renders immediate and explicit obedience. Previously, the only thing that he did that God had told him to do was to arise. He did arise, but he went the wrong way. Now it's different. He arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now there's a great principle of faith here. And that principle is that the fruit of God's chastenings in our life and His corrections will also be seen in how we regulate our lives. Nothing weighed with Jonah anymore, nothing moved him anymore but the Word of God. He had fled from the presence of God in his stubbornness. He had boarded a ship to Tarshish according to his own cunning. He had sought to escape according to his own reasons. But now he goes to Nineveh. And why would he go to Nineveh? Well, because he makes his conscious determination by the Word of God. He answers all objections with the Word of God. He looks to nothing but the Word of God. What about the difficulties? What about the impossibilities? What about the fears? No. Jonah will obey the Word of God. He will resign his own wisdom. He will refuse to be governed by the things that he sees. He will simply bring the Word of God. That's the principle. The fruit of chastisement is that now you and I are afraid to depart from the Word of God, and we will place all in dependence upon that Word. That is repentance. Repentance is not just that our emotions and our feelings are stirred, but true repentance is that now we are resolved to obey the Word of God. Do we do that perfectly? No. Do we always obey God for the right motives? No. And Jonah isn't going to do that either. But Jonah knew what the Word of God called him to do. He knew that the Word of God was to be obeyed and was right. And as a repentant child of God, he was determined that he was going to follow the Word of God. He must go the way of God's Word. It was a very demanding call that God gave to Jonah. Obedience was not going to be easy. The scriptures emphasize to us the greatness of the city. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It was a great metropolitan area, great as a Chicago or as a Los Angeles or New York, with a great metropolitan area. It took 3 days' journey. A day's journey is 15 miles, 45 miles across. And Jonah, as he's fresh from the fish's belly, must journey east over deserts and up plains and over rivers that stand between him and Nineveh. And he must come before Nineveh, which is the seat of a cruel, mighty Assyrian empire, heartless and ruthless in war, engaging the world in conquest. It was heathen. It was worshiping idols. It was warlike. And he must bring a message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. He did not appear in the streets of Nineveh with the message, God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. No. But the living God says to you in your sin, 40 days, and you will be overthrown in your rebellion against God. You talk about a demanding mission. Think of it. Here he enters into a city filled with warlike aggression. Perhaps he hears the beating of drums. He's one man. He's no army. He doesn't have a 44 strapped on his side. And he proclaims God's word. Jonah preached the preaching that God bid to him. He preached it to a society which in its very framework and warp and woof said, do your own thing. You may be a god to yourself. We are accountable to no one. We have the right for our own lifestyle. In that day, Jonah preached, you are accountable to God. God sees you, and God will judge you, and God holds you before him in his hand. He sits on his throne in the heavens. You are to repent or perish. That was a very demanding mission. Surely Jonah could say with the Apostle Paul, and who is sufficient for these things? But he obeyed. If ever a man would feel the foolishness of preaching, it would have been Jonah. But he had come to know the power of God's word in his own soul, and that's our calling as a church. That's the calling of the minister of your church. The calling of your minister is to preach the preaching that God bid him in his word. How humbling to man. To Nineveh, that capital of the world, who did God send? Did he send a man in a chariot dressed in gold and jewels? No. Did he send a man in human strength? No. This was a man who just came from a fish's belly. He was taken from the dead. Well, did he give this man perhaps some miracles to flash around? No. He gave him his word and said to Jonah, Jonah, preach what I tell you. To Nineveh, a society which was enamored with human might and human glamour, God sends a man vomited from a fish's belly, and he puts his word into Jonah's mouth. And Jonah proclaimed the power of the word of God. Verily, he that heareth the word of God has passed from death to life. My sheep hear my voice. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has spoken by his Son in the Holy Scriptures. Repent and believe in him. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.